All right. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you. My name is Andrea Herman, and I'm based in Manitoba. So it's a pleasure to be here. I'm originally from Joplin, Missouri. So I'm a proud immigrant and now Canadian citizen. So thank you all for facilitating my hemp dreams to come true. So today I was asked by to give a Canadian Hemp Trade Alliance report, and that's what I'm going to do. So what's the status of the hemp industry here in Canada? Our regulations were put in place in 1998 in March, and since that time, and essentially how that came around is the government here said with some interesting research findings and demand from industry, they looked at industrial hemp and decided to legalize it and then thus amend the regulations to facilitate the cultivation for 10 acres or more underneath a commercial license and less than that under a research license right here. So ever since then, Canada has really been the leader in the hemp industry, especially when it comes to the food sector. So, you know, are we red hot yet? Well, we got a lot more work to do, that's for sure. So essentially, the Canadian Hemp Trade Alliance's members consist of growers, researchers, seed breeders, processors, interested persons engaged in the hemp industry, and consumers, of course, always focused on growth and development of the hemp industry. And essentially, the Canadian Hemp Trade Alliance came around from looking at what was needed on the federal level here in Canada and how could we have a unified voice as we move forward doing this type of association work. So here's just some of the initiatives that are going on right now. We're a working board. I'm not paid by the CHTA. I hold three different memberships with them as I feel it's important from each of my entities to have an active role in what's going on and representing the industry. Part of that is national variety research development. What varieties are going to work well in southern Ontario might not work so well in northern Manitoba or northern Alberta. So really working with the plant breeders to highlight their varieties across the Canadian research framework so that farmers know at the end of the day what they're going to put in is going to be right for their end product that they're looking for. Also looking at the hog and poultry feeding trials. This is going to be very important as we move forward looking at getting essential fatty acid foods, highly digestible proteins, not only into our human bodies, but into the animals that we're eating. Trust me, we never thought in the beginning that we would be eating hemp foods before we had hemp fiber here. And it's really difficult to get something proved as a livestock animal feed. So this has been a major initiative, and this started years ago with some basic protein digestibility research projects. And those were some really happy rats. In addition, this year we have produced the Hemp Production E-Guide. This is really looking at the farming agricultural landscape and how do we prepare our farmers to really understand industrial hemp. And this is something that is cultivation practices. And of course, we know as we look at the development of using hemp or 0.3% or less THC types of cannabis in agriculture, that agricultural landscape has changed. So we know this will need to be updated as these types of female-only production of hemp starts coming into the marketplace. Well, Health Canada. Well, thankfully, we have a Health Canada here. If I looked at, you know, not that we don't have our own problems within it, but thankfully to have one voice so that no matter if I'm operating in Manitoba, British Columbia, Nova Scotia, or the Northern Territories, that we're all functioning under the same regulations and we all have the same power of one voice, especially coming from the CHTA. Trust me, when I email Health Canada, they email me back because they don't want to hear from me again. Which is always nice, quick replies, and then I can share that information. And then talking about promotion and then a research agency. So how can the CHTA act in a role of promotion on the federal level, local level for our members, of course, and then research agencies across Canada to bring them together to the table to facilitate the work that we've all got to do and that we have a common, you know, common goal to get the information out of it. Of course, liaisoning with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. Of course, if we look at how the principal drivers have been here talking about food production, we fall under Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. Kinda. We're not classified technically as a grain here, so that there are funding opportunities that we can't access because of some of the ways that hemp has not yet been accepted by Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, but I can say they have been super champions for us, and we've had many champions from within government come forward, and one of those will be on our panel later on. In addition, our annual conference, which this will be in Saskatoon. So please join us in Saskatoon in November and see what's really going on. And I often say as a consultant, if somebody says they want to know something about industrial hemp, now if you want to be in fiber, I'm going to tell you, get over to Europe and go there. But if you're talking about grain production and food, I often say a lot of bang for your buck is coming to the Canadian Hemp Trade Alliance. They're really engaged in wanting to share and steward not only what's going on here, but international relationships and strategic alliance amongst our members to facilitate this global revolution that we all belong in. And of course, long-term national international strategy. How does Canada position itself now with the changing dynamics in the cannabis industry? And how can we make sure that our farmers are also increasing their farm gate and the capacity to facilitate the cultivation in the new changing face of hemp? And minor use approval processes. Well, maybe not my favorite topic, because it's talking about chemical application and pesticides and herbicides. But this is also something that I've seen some of the research come forward from this work and saying, maybe we don't really need it if we do some pre-agronomic practices. So sometimes these kind of trials proves another point about how maybe in cultivation we don't need some of these herbicides. But it's also looking at how do we use bioinsecticides, for instance, in certified organic production or transition production. Well, I won't go too much into the hemp history, as we probably all get a little bit of this. And these are some general slides provided. So, of course, you know, the long history in the U.S. You know, we all know about the criminality and the stereotypes that are going behind. But what's really important is looking at what's going on and what may be, you know, kind of a hemp renaissance and how we're bringing this back and looking at the overall acreage expanding across Canada. And those principally are in about five provinces, so the Prairie provinces and in Quebec and some in Ontario. So the area that we're cultivating in is still really bound to just to the prairies particularly. And, you know, we're increasing evidence in both acres and yields. I mean, the acres are driven by marketplace. If you look at what's going on the global market, since we are the leaders in hemp food production, our products are shipping all around the globe. So in addition, talking about the exports, well, right here in 2015, you know, over $100 million have been exported out of. And these statistics only include orders that cross over the U.S. border that are more than $2,000. So anybody ordering anything less than that, that's not becoming part of these statistics. So they're actually quite skewed if you look at the grander scheme of things that are moving out of Canada. So we've had really strong growth as it comes to market demand. So, of course, hemp food processing in Canada, we're going to have one of our processors up here in a little bit, but this is something that has really been driven. Of course, we're principally on the food side. As we look at the fiber side, there's a lot of opportunity as we start to develop the fiber industry. There are limitations as it comes to transport, for instance. How economical is it to move all of these bales? And this is why we're going to need multiple processing facilities across the prairies. And trust me, since 1998, are you kidding? When I came here in 2001, we always thought, wow, we still don't have a commercial scale fiber decortication facility in Canada sitting in the prairies when we have grandfather bales out there sitting. And you pull pack the top 3 inches of these bales and that fiber, and they're still really usable. So how do we facilitate that? I mean, come on, let's build a fiber processing facility, because right now we're shipping fiber from Europe. Thank you, our European colleagues, for helping facilitate it. But when we have the raw material right here and the machinery exists, you know, just got to come with a coin, if you know what I mean. So, of course, hemp is a food. We're going to have some discussion with that with Charles in just a little bit. Of course, looking at that essential fatty acid profile, looking at the vitamins and minerals, and probably everybody in here eats hemp foods. And if you don't, please go out and incorporate them into your diet. And of course, it's just good food. And I always say, if it's good food, hemp is good in and on it or with it. And of course, looking at hemp as a fiber material. Well, so many things are coming out through research as we look at the development of the fiber industry and really being led by our European colleagues. And that can definitely spill over here. But once again, what's the missing link? Fiber decortication. Well, hemp is a medicine. So many other people here that have been on this stage can really speak to this. But just know that this is a mission from the Canadian Hemp Trade Alliance to embrace what hemp looks like as a medicine, therapeutic, however you want to say, alternative use, adult use, chosen use, coming off of industrial hemp. And how can we work with Health Canada and our producers to make the change that we need so that we can get total crop utilization? Because underneath our current regulation framework, we're not allowed to work with the flowering parts or the leaves or technically the green parts of the plant. And there's a huge opportunity being missed from us not being able to collect that material and make products that are already out on the market. So just want to thank everybody for, you know, what you're doing and pushing the envelope, which adds legitimacy so that we can really say that somebody containing the types of products that are coming off industrial hemp in other countries don't make you sick. And at the end of the day, that's what we want to know is this a food safe product? Is this a product that's not going to make people sick from consuming it? So all the people pushing the limits is also helping us in the hemp industry. So looking at an outlook, talking about the front, the production guide, looking at, transition, limited contracts. So this year we actually saw a decrease in the contracts. Why? Because our varieties are yielding better and we had grain sitting in the bin. So that's really talking about more development of the market so that we can keep those contracts really flowing. Also, this is a rotation crop, so it doesn't fit in every single year into every rotation. So maybe you're at a farmer's field every couple of years, or maybe they've got it in every couple of years, and they're growing other crops. I mean, especially as we start talking about large-scale agriculture, where you're coming in with big combines, and you need grain bins and proper storage so that the food product at the end of the day isn't rotten. Well, how does the potential legalization of marijuana impact industrial hemp and our regulations that we now have? So this year, we know Health Canada came forward with some of the license applications in the early beginning and said, oh, you have to file this application that was in almost in conjunction with the medical marijuana program research application. Thankfully, they reneged on that and gave us our old application back. But there's definitely work to be done there. And the expansion in the U.S., and what does that look like for our Canadian processors? What joint ventures? How can the Canadian Hemp Trade Alliance and how can our seed breeders actually also help steward that? And we're already seeing that. Almost all of the breeding programs in Canada, and they're all, there's like maybe six or eight of them, have all provided genetics to other places around the world to help facilitate cultivation. And we were facilitated by those first Ukrainian varieties coming here. So it's our turn to actually pay it back to other places that are now cultivating. Well, you know, will we get to 1 million acres here in Canada? Will we have $1 billion in exports? Potentially so. How about GRAS certification, generally recognized as safe? This is in the U.S., and how does not having that hold us back? And how much money does it take us to get something like GRAS? If you look at all the money that was sunk into flax, and now flax is on the GRAS status, how do we get that kind of coin to drive the research that we need to get something like GRAS so that we can further drive our marketplace? Is this a sole responsibility of Canada? No, this is a U.S. regulation. So working with our colleagues in the U.S. to drive that. You know, how do we get it? It's not the hemp sunrise bar, just the sunrise bar, right? And change that philosophy on the market of, you know, a few drops of hemp seed oil in something and it's just a commonplace. High-tech applications, I mean, graphene, looking at all the composites, looking at the 3D printing that's going on, and how do we help facilitate that? How do we help push breeding programs so that we can increase yields and educate our farmers so that they understand how to better farm this crop, store this crop, and how do we work on a grading system that makes us all unified so that you know no matter where you're purchasing this from, and this is one of the things from the CHTA we have is a food safety committee right now, looking around foods and how do we streamline things so no matter which one of our quality members you're purchasing from, they recognize these same types of standards for quality and food safety. Dual cropping, maybe triple cropping actually, right? As we look at the changing dynamics. In addition, you know, is this the Cinderella 2.0 of the rapeseed canola? Well, boy, what we can do that rapeseed and canola cannot, I think we're, you know, definitely keeping that pumpkin buggy going for a while. So, of course, thank you, everybody. And if you're interested, please reach out to us at hemptrade.ca. Talk to Kim Schluckley. Your membership really is important. Come to our conference in November in Saskatoon, and we look forward to you. And we won't do the second one. Okay. Thank you so much. My name's Andrea Herman.